The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 405. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Yo, how you doing,
Brett Murdoch.
Sup, everybody?
And Brian Monjoma.
What up?
All right, no Chris action. He is out of it. I don't know. I'm not going to say what he has, but yeah, he's out of it. He needs to rest, recuperate. And also, as you can see, Manny and I have been separated. We were conjoined last episode. Now we were like ripped apart. You're back.
Now you can probably hear me a little bit better.
Yeah, because we had to share one mic, you know.
Yep.
Shout out to Tracy Morgan, the one mic special. Remember that, Tracy Morgan, one mic? Oh, I need his one mic.
There was a song. Nah, it's not the one mic.
New York Comic Con AMA special, maybe Barry. Barry, I didn't get to see you at Comic Con, man. I'm sorry about that. I know you were there.
I saw him, I think, almost every single day.
Nice. Yeah, because I went to your booth. He was not there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, good stuff. We'll probably ask you about Comic Con during the Thursday show, because I know you met some fans and stuff, which is pretty cool, you know. But this is a question show, so let's get into some questions that we got from the fans, and I'm vamping as I load this thing up. It's taken 50 years for some reason. Here we go. All right. No real theme that I noticed in the questions, kind of spattering of a bunch of different things, but good questions regardless. We're going to start off with Mob Hits. So his first question is, now that Nintendo Pictures exists, what IPs do you want brought to the big screen, and what directors should helm them? You know, now we got the Mario movie coming out. So, you know, what other...
I want Zelda with Shia LaBeouf.
With Shia LaBeouf?
Yes, I want him to play Link. I think that'd be awesome.
He plays Sora already. He can't play Link.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yep.
All right, there goes that.
He's the voice of Sora.
Yeah, I thought Sora?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. Oh, no, Shia LaBeouf. Sorry, wrong guy.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that Joel Osment?
That's Haley Joel Osment. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you're right.
Metroid, you know, like a proper, like, gritty. They're not going to do it because it's Nintendo. Like a gritty Metroid movie, you know, that'd be pretty cool. Live action or CG, I don't really care. Just Metroid movie would be pretty cool.
A Metroid horror movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That'd be crazy.
They'd never do it.
No, they wouldn't. Like a gritty, raw horror movie. They would. Like Alien, you know? They wouldn't do that.
What would I say? Aha! Yeah, there you go. I would do Hotel Dusk.
Hotel Dusk? Movie. What?
Yeah. Hotel Dusk, a noir game that they did, that they had made. Sort of like, not so well known, but it's a noir, and it's actually pretty good.
Interesting.
So, Hotel Dusk.
All right, anybody else want to go? Nintendo movie?
You guys took all the good ones.
Yeah.
The Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, good.
Eternal Darkness.
That's a Nintendo published game. Sure, that works.
Yeah, it works. I'll accept it.
I'm sure they own the rights to it.
I like what Blitz says. Majora's Mask by Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson.
Oh! I got one.
You got to pick one. You can't say both. You got to pick either Guillermo del Toro or Peter Jackson. You can't have both.
Yeah, I got to pick one. Oh, shit. I realized I didn't pick a director for mine. I don't know. I don't know the modern directors.
I'll go with...
Who'd be a good horror sci-fi director?
We can get Guillermo del Toro.
There we go. Guillermo del Toro do the Metroid movie. There you go.
For me, I would go with the director of Knives Out, the Star Wars that movie that everybody hates.
Yeah, what's his name?
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson. Yeah, Ryan Johnson does Hotel Dusk.
The sequel for Knives Out is coming out. Knives Out was actually a really good movie.
Well, it's a really good film.
Yeah, they signed it for two more movies. So.
Good. It's Netflix too, right?
Yo, man, nobody wants a Donkey Kong movie.
No, man. Oh, we got King Kong. What the hell? What
By the way, I do have one. I want a Star Fox anime. It could be a movie. It could be a series. It could be whatever. Star Fox. Do a barrel. Doing an anime. I don't care who directs it, as long as it's just a decent director. I'll be fine with that.
It could be Studio Trigger.
Quentin Tarantino.
It could be them. Could you? Ufotable.
Full Alchemist.
I think Quentin only has one more movie left under his rule of 10 films, and that's it. Then he retires or some shit.
Would Bayonetta count, by the way?
I guess. Yeah, it's been
sort of own it.
Yeah, Bayonetta and like 20 years ago, Angelina Jolie would have been like perfect for that role. I don't know. I don't know what woman looks like Bayonetta. Modern
Sarah actress. Palin.
Sarah Palin. Yeah. There you go.
Seriously, I would have said Catherine Zeta-Jones.
If she were younger. Yeah.
Just to have fun, I'll let the Wachowskis make an F-Zero movie.
Oh shit! Why not? So right? Why not?
So essentially, it'll just be Speed Racer.
It'll be Speed Racer.
I mean, honest, if they're going crazy like that, I would go with them for that shit.
Yeah, I like what's it? F-Zero with Tom Cruise. Days of Thunder, man. You know,
yeah, Days of Thunder.
Was the girl from Underworld? She retired.
Kate Beckinsale,
yeah.
Did she retire?
She said her husband's some big time director, and then she said
he's the one that directed all those goddamn movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he directed all the Underworld films. Yeah.
But that's where she met him. She would be.
Yeah, she liked
that. And so, talking about it. So.
You know what'd be funny? You guys mentioning Guillermo del Toro. Imagine Guillermo del Toro directing a Yoshi movie, and the characters just looking all like.
All Guillermo del Toro eyes?
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
They're like Yoshi be like drooling and all colorful, and he'd be played by Doug Jones.
How about Tim Burton doing a Splatoon movie or something? You know, but and everybody and everything's like puppets. You know,
no.
Does anybody want either of those things?
No.
Not really.
I want it just for the curiosity. It'd be kind of interesting.
Like if he delves deeper into the supposed weird world of Splatoon.
It could work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm thinking about. I think we ran out of Nintendo IPs. What happened, Brett?
I doubt that it could
get Kirby.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Next question for Mob Hits. Right.
With
cloud gaming on pace to generate $2.4 billion in 2022, is Microsoft's vision finally taking off? Can we say that the disc format will be dead in a year or so? No. This format will be around the rest of this generation. Like, these consoles have a disc drive. They're not going to just stop making discs. And like I've always said, we're going to probably get to a point where discs are like vinyls now. They're never going to go away. They're still going to be for like the hardcore collectors. Last time I checked, it's probably more now. 80% of video game purchases are digital nowadays. That was before the pandemic. It probably went up by now, you know?
But also, 80% of games, but if you think about it, like a lot of those games are only just being released as digital.
Yeah.
So if anything, I would say that number is a bit skeptical of those numbers because they're including all gaming as opposed to direct digital games.
Yeah, it would be interesting if we heard what percentage of games that also have physical releases are bought digitally. Yeah, that would be a little bit more thing. But the thing is, like, people do buy more digital because it's easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't see those numbers.
External drive? Aren't they making some kind of external drive?
Not that I know of.
That's
a rumor.
I've never heard of that.
That was a rumor. They were going to get rid of the whole, have one PlayStation.
Just to keep one SKU,
And then keep one SKU and then just have an external drive that you attach to things.
I heard about that. Yeah.
So if that's a rumor, though,
that's not, yeah.
But I know, but if it does happen, it just shows that they still see a need for discs.
Oh, yeah.
And that could be the future, that all consoles come as just a digital box, but you can always buy this attachment chip. If you want to run your disc, if you're into that,
yeah,
to cut cost.
Yeah, but to answer the question directly, no, they're not going to go away in a year or two. You know,
they're never going to go away. I think never see.
Yeah. Real quick, Dumeke, he re-asked the question about fanboyism in Asia, but we don't know. We got to ask Subgator about that.
We should send him. If he's listening, I don't know if he's listening, but yeah, we need to send him a direct message and find out what his deal is. Also, what's his face? Should know a little bit about that too.
We got to ask a couple of people, not just
our one. Buddy. What's his face?
Gosh. Riku.
Not Riku.
No, the
not
dude
Riku.
That was served overseas, the military dude that we played.
No, not him. It's shit, I'm totally blanking.
Right, we could figure that out later. But
he was his wife used to do like he used to work the Nintendo booth.
Fonzie,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. Fonzie too, because he had a long stint in Japan.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he got pretty used to what's going on over there.
So okay, so but next week we'll re-ask the question. I'll ask those guys. So we'll go to his other question. I was looking at pictures from the Nintendo World event in Japan over the weekend and the Great Link statue for Tears of the Kingdom and wondered, for those who have been to E3 or any of the other big gaming events, what is the coolest setup for a game you have ever seen? As in a display to promote a game that may have included statues or maybe a setting where you were in a mocked up part of the world while demoing the game.
We've seen a bunch, but to me, to be honest, what Konami did for Metal Gear 5, they literally built like a replica of Mother Base in their booth. That's what their booth was.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The heliport was where you watched the trailer. And then toward the entry, the single demo rooms for a lot of the journalists were all like doors inside of the Mother Base. It was really cool. And they hired a fan like cosplayers to essentially populate the base. So they had a guy who was dressed up like Skullface. But a lot of these guys are from Italy too. Guys dressed up like Skullface. One guy was Miller, and then there was my dude Frank Boss, who's also
those guys were really good. Yeah, I took pictures with those guys. Those were really good costumes.
Those guys are cool.
Yeah,
I still keep in contact with those guys. They're still rocking the Metal Gear shit, man. They're still doing it.
Yeah, I like it just because they use it so much. Capcom brought that Resident Evil mansion like to a bunch of different shows. Like they had at E3, they had it at Comic Con. That was really cool. I also liked Dying Light 2. Basically, when we go in, we're just accosted by a bunch of zombies and shit. You know, that was pretty fun. There's just
Evil Within had a spooky ass booth too, man.
Yeah,
the one where they walk you through that shit.
Yeah, I don't know if I did that one.
Oh, you didn't do that one. That one was pretty cool too.
Yeah,
it was all like you walked in. It was almost like you're walking into an asylum, and then they lead you to a room. And yeah, that one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy's one, it was also Final Fantasy 7's one. And this one, you definitely weren't at that one. But that was at the last E3 in, 2019.
Yeah.
And that one is that you literally wait on a line. It looks like you're waiting on a line to go to go on a train or something like that.
Oh, nice.
And they have all the cool posters and stuff for Loveless. Your ticket actually says Loveless on it, like you're going on a train. And then you go in, and then you're, like, standing under, like, in that shot, like, under Midgar. Where you like looking, you look up and you see the smokestack and everything.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I wish I could remember more because most of the time I didn't really pay too much attention. I was too busy running around, to get to appointments and shit. But yeah, there was some good stuff. Shout out to Devolver Digital. They always had the best booth because it was outside and they gave us free drinks. Yeah.
Devolver Digital's one, their booth was literally what do they call it?
It was in the parking lot. It was great.
What do they call it? It was a mobile home parking lot. So, yes. Like, all the mobile homes in the Devolver Digital area were all different games. And then they also, like, cooked, like, hot dogs and hamburgers there.
Yeah, man.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. All right. Moving on here. Next up, Jay Shep in the house. All right. He goes, I recently purchased a Steam Deck, and I'm currently in the process of personalizing it. I'm good with general PC basics, but I'm having a hard time taking full advantage of what the Steam Deck is capable of. Could Valve have done a better job of making the Steam Deck more of an entry-level system for PC gaming, or is it just me?
Well, the thing about it is that it's Linux.
And it does everything, but it's got everything you need. Just go into the application store on a PC, and there's theme generators, there's everything that's there. You just got to do some research, but it's all there. It's all
to me. Steam Deck is super easy to use. Yeah. It's extremely user friendly.
I just sent that video out of how you can just make the startup screen like a PlayStation or a Nintendo or Xbox, whatever you want. So when you turn it on, you'll see like the animation. It's super customizable.
Yeah,
I think I don't know if he's referencing to sort of the sort of the alternative forms of entertainment that could be done in the Steam Deck. I don't know if it's
a little bit more complicated. Yes.
No. If you went to emulation, some of them are easier than others. The older ones, of course, are easier than the newer.
Adam Jason is in the chat. He's asking where your video is.
The video is on my Twitter. I put on the Twitter, but I'll post it through here. I'll post it in the chat here.
I think Jay Ship and I talked about this. I think he asked me if you made a video, like I think reviewing it or something. I don't know. I could have misheard. But yeah, it's interesting with Valve because they're kind of stuck in a place where they have to use Linux for this machine and. Pretty sure that they didn't expect a lot of the hype that they've received from this machine. So, a lot of this it's still in the early stages of the Steam Deck, and a lot of stuff is going to get even better, hopefully. And
All right. To me, it was pretty easy to use. But yeah, if you want to get to the deeper stuff, yes, that can get complicated.
Yeah.
Actual general, Steam OS, that's easy to use. He says every time he goes online and look at videos, it seems complicated. It depends on what you're doing, though. If you're trying to install a bunch of shit into the desktop, then yeah, it can get kind of confusing and stuff. One thing I would say is try to get like a USB hub so you could like use a mouse and keyboard with this.
It makes it easier. While he's in there, what's one thing?
Or the hub's coming. What am I talking about?
Is it that he wants to custom? What's the one thing he's trying
to do? Oh, see, he's talking about outside of Steam. That's why,
the desktop?
Yeah, yeah. So, Jason, what are you trying to do specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're trying to do that, then it gets a little bit more complicated, but it's not under... It's not Valve's responsibility to teach people that stuff, you know?
No. They're just giving that open door, like, hey, do whatever you want so you don't bitch at us. You have all these options.
Yeah, like Valve, they show you how to use the base Steam Deck. Uh-huh. They do that. But other stuff, that's not on them.
Yeah. Go into the store that's within the Linux store, that's Discovery, that's over on the desktop for the Steam Deck, and you'll find all kinds of categories, and you'll see performance, and you'll see, you name it. There's ways of doing it. If you want to customize looks, I don't know what else you want to customize, but applications are there for pretty much everything. And if that doesn't work for you, you can look up research of something in particular that you're looking for and see if they have a Linux version. And then you can just put that on a drive and then plug that in and install it because it's Linux. As long as there's a Linux build, you're good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Emu Deck that we use, that's not in the store. That has to be loaded from the website, and that works just fine.
Yeah. Again, the only really tricky thing is just if you don't have a mouse and keyboard, it'd get very, very tricky. But thankfully that hub is coming, so that should hopefully.
Tomorrow.
How many ports is that thing? I got to look at. I got to see how many ports that thing has. Let's move on here. Another one from Jay Shep. The Dead Space remake was announced for $70 on current gen systems. Gamers seem to be disgruntled with the price, specifically. Xbox gamers. If Xbox gamers decline to purchase $70 AAA titles, how could that affect future third-party titles on Xbox?
Interesting. Why? Question. I don't get it because it's free on Game Pass, the old ones. So I don't know what they're bitching about.
Well, they want the new one. They don't want to pay. They don't want to pay $70 for the new one.
But EA doesn't do that for all of them. So they're the only ones that pretty much suck. Ubisoft will put a lot of that shit on there day one. You got Extraction and a few others. And of course, Warner Brothers did that with Back 4 Blood, Mortal Kombat. But EA doesn't do that. Like FIFA and all those games. If you have EA Play, it still doesn't. It's only the PC version that gives you a week or two early or whatever you get to play, but you still don't get all of it.
EA Play, yeah. So he's basically just asking what would happen if like third party games are $70 and Xbox gamers decide not to buy them?
I don't know.
I wish Chris was here. He's an economic guy,
Mm-hmm. But I don't see that. I mean, we hear this for all the time, even with Call of Duty, when people were bitching about the future, one myself included. what the fuck, garbage. And that still was one of the best selling games. People bitch, but they still get it if they want it. They just like to bitch. They just won't tell you that they got it.
Yeah.
All these people bitching.
I remember for Modern Warfare 2, the original Modern Warfare 2, right? I think they didn't have like private servers, and people, like, you know, a bunch of Steam guys were like, fuck that shit. I'm not buying this game. Fuck that. And then all those same guys that said fuck that, on day one, they were all playing the game.
So, guys, look at the best lines of us, remaster, $70 bullshit. People still bought it. It still was up there on the charts. So
cool. You know what it is, J-Ship? I think the people you're hearing are just the loud minority. Most people are just going to buy it. They're going to buy it regardless. Remember, what you see on Twitter is not real life, you know? So, yeah, there you go. Moving on here. Oh, what is this? A sponsored question by Mr. Romudeath, man. Very generous fellow.
Mr. Romulan, eh?
Yeah, Romulan. Yeah, because J-Ship had another question. It was so good that Romudeath, generous as he is, decided to sponsor it. All right. He goes, I'm personally disappointed in the direction Sony exclusive games have seemed to be headed. I understand that their recent moves have mostly been to keep up with the competition. However, I feel like we're losing the PlayStation that made us fall in love with gaming. Is Jim Ryan to blame for this direction, or is it all part of the plan from the higher-ups and Jim Ryan is just their puppet? A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. But I don't understand, what do you mean PlayStation's losing what made it like... Okay, I'm assuming it's because games are coming to PC, right? That's what I'm assuming. Yeah. I could be wrong about that. Because if we're talking about that, I have two answers for you. If we are saying Sony's losing its identity because they're putting games on PC, I think that's BS because you're still getting your games regardless on PlayStation. But if you're saying they're losing identity, yes, they are. Because, you know, we're moving the shift away from Japan, focusing more on the West. Jim Ryan obviously been one of the worst CEOs in terms of, like, the forward-facingness and stuff. Those are my two answers. But I don't know, J-Shep, you're in there. What was this question specifically about? The PC gaming side, or is it about, you know, Sony's just general shift? Or is
he
it both?
You said it's not about the PC stuff.
Okay,
I think it's about old Sony.
Okay, you mean the Sony that, you know, Brett, when you talk about old Sony, you mean old good Sony or old bad Sony?
Old bad Sony.
Okay, because old good Sony.
I don't know how old J-Shep is. Like, I don't know if he remembers, like, the last time Sony was a douche.
Yeah.
He's in the chat. Like, yeah, please feel free to answer that.
Yeah.
I think my answer to this is this isn't the first time Sony has kind of done this kind of thing and had this kind of attitude. It blew up horribly in their face, and they learned their lesson for a real long time. But it does seem to be that they're taking two steps back for every step forward lately.
Brett, real quick, the problem is before, right, you know, they were being assholes, and it, like you said, it blew up in their face. The problem is now it's not blowing up in their face.
Well, it might just be taking a while. They've built up a lot of good grace, but, like, Jim Ryan is definitely cashing those checks.
It's
like, why wait? Why wait for it to get to that point? They know. They're reading the room, or else we wouldn't have had Plus and all the other goodies that they gave us.
PlayStation came out when he was in middle school, so he's our age.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, like, I wonder.
PS1, right, J-Shep? You're talking about
Yeah, if he was there for, like, the dark days, then I don't know if this is the first time that I've seen Sony acting like this. But
we're the same age basically. I was 15 when PlayStation 1 came out.
Yeah. You're old school.
Yeah.
Kudos. Good props. Stuff. Respect. Whatever.
I don't feel like the attitude is the problem. I feel it's more of sort of the direction where they're heading. I think that's the biggest issue. I don't feel like we have. I don't know. It all. You know, whether the hardware is what it is, the marketing is what it is. A lot of the other stuff is what it is. The PSVR stuff. But, you know, for me, it's always about the games. And I feel like, you know, games, especially the marquee games that, you know, put people's, you know, like make people excited about video games. Just Sony isn't releasing them as frequently as they used to. I don't know if there's even that much enthusiasm about doing that kind of stuff. And Jim Ryan does not, you know, sort of propagate that type of enthusiasm through his channels. I feel like he's just more of a kind of suits person doing a job. And, you know, Phil Spencer is kind of the opposite. Not saying that he's doing a better job or a worse job. it just feels like there's two different type of ways to run a company.
Well, he comes from the programming end. He worked at the game studio, so he was that from that point of view.
Yeah, yeah, and then those experiences definitely have shaped him to be, you know, this type of way as opposed to Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan, I forgot what his background was, but I'm pretty sure it's in the corporate world. And I don't
he's
know.
He's been with Sony since like what was the beginning though, like PlayStation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been.
But was he ever like a developer?
No,
or,
he was not a developer. Like, he was a corporate guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I just don't like I don't like the fact, and this is with all video games. I feel like we don't get experiences anymore. We get products. I don't know if that sounds too wishy-washy or too, you know.
Well, no, because people aren't trying to make products anymore or make experiences anymore. They're just, it's not they're trying and failing. It's just that all they want to do is make a product.
Buy product, get hype for next product. You know, that's basically what it is.
Buy something that you can franchise off of.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, I've fallen off of gaming as much as I have the last couple of years. It's because they haven't really been enthusiastic or enthused me into believing in them as much as I used to.
This is honestly why I'm kind of a proponent for games as a service. Like, I didn't used to be this way, but I've kind of come around the other way, because like the only way I think we're going to change this is if we change the motivation, like away from making a product and back towards making an experience. When you have games as a service, you want to get hype, you want to get experience. Like, Netflix gets its business by coming out with shows that everybody wants to see and everybody has to watch. So therefore, you have no choice but to subscribe to their service. And I think we kind of need that in gaming, because I don't know that we're going to go back to the time where people took pride and customers held the developers' feet to the fire. You know, Saints Row is a great example of what. As long as it's AAA at this point, we'll take it. Whatever. There's no standards.
Yeah, and think about that. Someone like Brian played it. He knew he wasn't going to like it, but I'm pretty sure he wanted that type of experience, because you know it's not it doesn't come around that frequently.
Yeah, I was just happy. I was just happy to play a AAA game. You know.
Oh no, even though the game was trash. Kels, I was playing it for the fun of it. I just wanted to see how bad it was. Like, I knew it's going to be awful. And I said to myself, like, you know what? Let's see just how awful this is, just for the sake of it, so I can understand just how awful it is. So it wasn't because it's AAA or anything. I don't care. Again, it's a bad game, so I wanted to play the bad game. It's like watching Thor. It's a bad film. I just wanted to see just how bad it was, you know? Yeah. So it's more
curiosity. Yeah, by the way, for the record, I reviewed it, so that's how I got it. But when I was playing, I was just like, this game's bad, but I'm satisfied playing a AAA game, because I haven't done that since Elden Ring, you know.
Yeah, you liked that weird spinoff that they did too. I remember you did a live stream for that one too. That
Saints Row?
Saints Row?
For the Saints Row. Yeah, that spinoff. Remember, it's like you're running around shooting, you work for the agency.
Agents of Mayhem.
That was
kind of fun, you know, for a little bit. Then it got boring. You could tell that game's like after 3 hours, then it's like, okay, what are we doing? You know,
Kishak mentioned, he highlighted a message saying, do the people who want experiences though actually vote with their wallets? They used to. And that's because the industry was driving it. But now the industry is driving services and microtransactions and loot boxes and expansion packs and mutt and foot and all this bullshit. To me, that
live service shit, that's what's fucking killing the enthusiasm for gaming, because you're not getting the experience anymore. You're just getting some like disposable bullshit, you know.
You're not getting a curated experience about someone's vision about a story, about gameplay, about a world. You're getting someone's curated experience to generate the most profit.
Yeah,
that's what most of gaming is today. At least a lot of the higher end gaming, where with AAA and stuff like that. So,
well, there's a difference between games as a service and live service games.
Okay, you got to explain this one. You got to explain this one, then, please.
Live service games are games that are online. They're like Overwatch. They're MOBAs. They're things like that. Games as a service includes things like Game Pass, where you have single player experiences being given to you for a monthly charge.
Yeah, but that's Destiny. Destiny's games.
Destiny as a service. is No. And it's one of those live service games are games as a service, but not all games as a service are live service games. I don't play a whole lot of live service games, I'll be honest with you, but I play a bunch of stuff like on Game Pass.
Okay.
And that's a different thing.
I'm failing to see the difference here.
Okay, let me put it this way.
You can have a single player experience on a Game Pass game with no other transaction.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like, I mean,
but Brett, the way I'm seeing it, you're comparing the way a game is structured versus a service. That's how I'm hearing it. They're not the same thing.
Well, so if you're saying live service games, you're completely discounting things like Mass Effect, which are on Game Pass, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't count that because that's a single player game.
But it's still games as a service because Game Pass is a service.
I disagree with that.
So is the PlayStation 5 in that case.
What? I mean, I guess kind of now that they've launched it like that, but they're not doing a very good job. But yeah, they've technically launched it games as a service. Like that's.
But you're just talking about a medium that distributes video games. We're talking about the actual video games.
Yeah, we're talking about the actual games. Yeah, we're compared to two different things. So you're right. They are different because one's a service, one's an actual game. So you're right about that. Real quick, Kishak goes, would a single player game getting free content updates be considered live service?
Especially one like Valhalla, right? Microtransactions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, he said free content updates, but
oh yeah, but Valhalla, microtransactions.
Valhalla is a live service game because it's constantly getting new content.
Division also, yeah.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that.
But I feel like these games, even if they do have free patches or free DLCs and stuff, a lot of these games you might have that, but that's because they still want to get you in the rope-a-dope with buying. You know, you can still buy weapons or something like that, or still buy skins,
be a way to make money. Yeah, they're not just to be nice.
There's no such thing as we're just giving you this for free out of our goodwill. There's a few of them, maybe. Maybe
it's not just coming from the heavens for prayer. No, these are developers that are creating it. They're sitting at a desk, so someone has to pay that salary, and they have to get that money some way. So
yeah, right. That was a good question. Let's move on here. Kishak. By the way, guys, in the chat. Actually, no. I'm gonna have to pull out some more questions here because this is the last question that I have here. So I'm gonna have to pull up some of the leftovers. But if you guys want to ask us any more questions, please feel free to. All right, Kishak, he goes, do you guys think some of the PlayStation's older franchises like Resistance, Sly Cooper, Jak and Daxter, Infamous, and Killzone deserve a revival? I see a lot of discussions online about these games, but at the same time, these games were a product of their time, and I just don't see any of them outperforming at their highest peak or having a meaningful impact nowadays. I just think that some series have run their course and should stay dormant. I 100% agree. I saw this. I'm like, yep, I 100% agree. I think some of these series, think about it. Like some of them, like Resistance, never really took off like that. Killzone was trying to be the Halo killer, you know. Jak and Daxter and Sly Cooper, they were part of that era of the mascot games. The only ones we have now is like Ratchet and Clank and Nintendo, obviously. So I think with the Infamous could still come back though. I think that could still be relevant nowadays. But I generally agree some franchises just need to be left alone. I agree with that sentiment. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think about that?
I feel like deserve is a pretty strong word. You know, no game deserves anything.
That is true.
It's just, you know, whether it makes sense to bring something back, whether to bring an IP back for certain reasons because they can make a better game or they feel like the new technology allows for the, you know, whatever a game attempted, you know, like for example, Mag, I feel like was ahead of its time, but you know, would it work in today's realm? Who knows? Resistance is a good point. I'm a big Resistance fan. Resistance 2 was probably one of the best games for me of that generation.
Is that the plumber?
It's the Insomniac first-person shooter game.
Yeah, the alternative, like,
World War II game. The guy had a weird job. What was his job? I remember, I didn't play it. I remember seeing
it. It was a soldier.
He was a soldier.
Is that the same one, man?
It's the one with the big monsters.
Remember, it's after World War II or something?
I just remember seeing him running around with a wrench, hitting people with it, in like a room full of fire, and he's trying to escape. And I think he's like a maintenance guy.
No, he's a soldier. You play as a soldier. You know,
he's talking about the first trailer for the Phantom Menace or the Phantom Pain.
No.
Right, let's not get sidetracked. Let's not get sidetracked.
It's not the Killzone one. The other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything. Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking Haze is Adam. Is that what you're thinking of?
It was something like it was like
he. Well, Haze is the one with the wasp helmet, wasp looking helmet.
It's from the way the trailers always look. It's like he looked lost, like he wasn't sure what
Bioshock.
Was going on. No.
If he was like, lost.
Okay, Adam, you figure out. We're getting off topic here. Anyway, right.
We have plenty of time. We got no questions.
I have more questions here. I backed up questions, but plus the thing's getting silly. Go ahead, Brian.
So I think that there are some games that can be brought back, and it's a good time for them. Mostly just Infamous, because again, we're living in the age where comic book stuff is really popular, and that was a comic book movie. So I think that has the potential to strike gold out of all the other IPs. I possibly think, again, this is not just me being a fanboy, it's just me thinking about it. SOCOM. Purely just because we don't have that many modern military shooters anymore. Like, I know there was a time when everything was a modern military shooter, but now it's like, what do you have?
Call of Duty.
Right. And that's what it is. So
when I think of SOCOM, because I thought about this the other day, for some reason, I always feel like the Division is like the spiritual successor to SOCOM in a way. And I don't know if anyone else feels that same way.
I
could see where you say that.
You could think of it, but it's a lot more. A lot more tech focused than SOCOM. SOCOM is very much just it's you and your gun, and that's mostly it. There's no real tech involved. Division is closer to like Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare than SOCOM, in my opinion. But you can see that line being drawn, I guess. I just don't think there's that many in the market, so it's a good space. And because it's not an RPG like The Division is, it's just more like, okay, just pure game story. And plus, there's like the whole thing where they had their squad commands, and you can like talk to your squad members and the AI, and you give them like instructions. So there's lots of cool things that can be done with that, given the power of these consoles these days. But apart from that, I'm with Tony. Like, I don't think there's anything else that makes sense. And I'm willing to go even further and say God of War should be one of them. Like, in my opinion, the God of War games now don't need to exist under the God of War title. Like, if they were called something else, not God of War, then I'd be fine. But again, the God of War franchise should have died with God of War Ascension, in my opinion. Like, they explored his storyline. There was nowhere else to go, and she just left it. But then, ironically, they dug him up and dragged him through to Norse mythology.
I'm going to support Brian, and as evidence, I'm going to put forth the fact that we already call it something different.
Oh, Dad
of War?
Yep. I mean, the fact that the entire community has adopted a shorthand for it really goes to show that they could have survived under another title.
Yeah, but they wanted that Kratos back. You know,
it could have been Kratos, but they could have just called it something different. Like, again, we call it God of War, but like they could have put it under a different title. They didn't have to make it God of War, because essentially it's not. It really isn't.
I disagree with that, but I'm not trying to get into that right now. I think
I think
it's very much God of War.
Okay, you know? I guess we don't have enough time for anything.
Brett,
yo, man, tomorrow's a holiday. You can take yourself a rest, Tony. You don't need to go to bed early.
No, I'm just not Brett. I'm not in the mood to argue tonight, man. That's what it is.
Yo, man, you don't want to throw fucking down?
Yeah, I don't want to throw down, man.
Brett, I'm willing to say that like the Dad of War game, I actually would have been happy if it was set in the same universe as God of War, but just not called God of War. Like, basically, if they just take Kratos out of Dad of War, then I'm fine. Because I don't think Kratos needs to be there. Because you can still have the same storyline with another person. Like, nothing about the Kratos in Dad of War is in any way, like, brought about by the trilogy and the base games. It's pretty much, again, it's a reboot by definition, so you can pretty much get away with just ignoring most of what came before and start from here, which means, as far as I'm concerned, you could just rename the main character to someone else and have most of the same story beats can still exist. You know, like his pain, his past. I mean, how many characters do we play as where they have like a hidden dark past and it's mysterious and whatnot? You know, it's like it's everyone. So yeah, they could have just gone away of saying, "Oh, this is not Kratos. This is Demios or something." I don't know.
Would you feel the same about, for example, something like Metal Gear? You know, Metal Gear was its own thing, and then Metal Gear Solid came out and was its own thing, and then Metal Gear Solid 2 came out and it was kind of its own thing too. So, like, they changed a lot. Also, I think they changed more drastically than what God of War did, but it was still the same franchise.
I never was invested in the Metal Gear games, so
yeah, but Carlos is right. The Metal Gear redid itself a lot more. God of War is still basically the same thing. It's just the camera angle is a little different. It's still basically the same game. You know,
I mean, and the controls are different now too, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a fan of that. He's like, you gotta have the buttons up here. I blame that on the Dark Souls, you know. But right. It's still the same. You know, you're still doing the same things.
Basically. Hey, nothing. Come on, everybody's inspired by that fucking game. You know that, yeah. Brett.
Can you change the controls on that? I've never.
Yeah, you
tried
can. Yeah, you can. You could.
Yeah,
make it.
I've actually, the thing is, I actually turned it back. Scrolls.
I did. I got very upset because, like, the first time I'm like, fuck that. I'm gonna play this game, you know, with the as buttons intended. In the face, right? As intended, right? And I was having a hard time. Then I switched it to the top ones, and I got pissed off because it was easier. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be played this way. Fuck. Because when you have the face buttons here, you can't turn the camera around. But obviously, when you have the face buttons up here, you can turn the camera around because your buttons.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the posts.
Yeah. So yeah, kind of annoying, you know, that they it's built that way. Anyway, Mighty Nerd, who have a question, I'll answer that later. All right, let's move on. Next question here is from, where are we right now? Okay, Villa Kyle. All right. Is Sony and Xbox failure in the live service space due to their exclusivity policies? Most successful live service games are multiplat, if not all of them. I think it's just a matter of they just haven't gotten lucky yet, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, like when Fall Guys was when that game was, you know, sort of console exclusive for a little bit, I think, you know, when it was on PlayStation Plus for free, I think that was one of those situations. And I think they're PlayStation is trying to essentially recreate that sort of situation with whatever live service games that they are coming up with.
But I think Fall Guys was always a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
I mean, when it first came out, it wasn't. It was on all three.
Yeah, it just recently came out on Xbox.
No, it was on PC for
on PC. I think since the beginning. PC first, if I remember right.
It was on PC Switch. First, but nobody gave a shit about it until it was free on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, no, but at the same time. I'm sure it came out at the same time.
All right. Yeah. Still nobody cared about it until it was on PlayStation.
Yeah, but what you said was wrong, so I just wanted to correct it.
Yo, man, I'm always right. No, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it came out on PlayStation Plus free, and then that's when everyone cared about it, but because it was kind of an addicting game to a lot of people. So the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's coming out multiplat or not, if it comes out on the console, it just has to be something that people are going to gravitate to.
I think that definitely, yeah, it can't just be anything. And to be honest, I feel like that game struck an itch that nobody really knew needed scratching. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go
ahead.
And things like PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, or whatever that game is called, or Bleeding Edge, and those attempts from Microsoft and Sony, you know, the people had plenty. They had Game Pass, and they had and that other game for PlayStation was free, I think, for PSN, if I'm not mistaken. And those didn't, you know, those didn't do that good. So it all has to do with the games. If Sony released what's it called, fucking Fortnite, and you know it was just on PlayStation, I'm pretty sure it'd still be popular.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. It's just they just haven't, you know, gotten lucky. That's the way it is. Fall Guys, that was so stupid. I remember me and Carlos streamed that. I'm like, yeah, but I'll never have to play this game again. You know, I understand, but a lot of people liked it, but to me, it was fucking stupid. All right, Mob Hits, another one. What do you make of recent rumors suggesting Microsoft is actively looking to purchase Japanese studios. Can this be big for Microsoft if the rumor is true? Again, we've explained this a million times. We've explained why Microsoft can't buy Japanese studios. I really need to make that clip that Chris explained and just make that a video and just have it as the main video of our throwdown. It's like, we've explained this a bunch of times, guys, you know? All right, Jay Shep, once again, could Valve be in a little trouble with Nintendo by airing their video with a Nintendo emulator? I didn't know about this. Has this happened?
Yes, I seen like a short news thing about it. Apparently there's like a promo video that Valve put out and had like an emulator for the Switch and had to like take it down. So,
and it was in the promotion too.
Again, I have about the legalities of what can happen, so I have no input. But
apparently either way, the video, Brian, they had to redo the video.
Nintendo doesn't ironically, they don't play around.
Yeah.
Valve?
Yeah, they'll sue anyone and everyone.
Is it excess NES? It's got to be some basic that they didn't even think of. But why would they have it installed on their playing it?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Gotta ask. But the video was changed, so obviously Nintendo wasn't happy about it. You know, that's fucking wild, dude. All right,
you're wild stuff.
All right, another one, Mighty Nerd. All right, what do you guys think about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 not having online lobbies upon release on Arcade 1-Up? Adam, this one's for you, man.
Wow, Marvel.
Was that true that there's no online lobbies for the arcade one-up version of Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
I don't know. They've never played that one. I know that's the new one that's coming out, the new arcade one-up. But the other ones have it. It's surprising. So the NBA Jam has it. It's got to be either that they can't get it to work, or maybe that's the license deal that they have with Marvel, where you could make the game, but when you start going into online, port that. Who knows? It's sort of like, I'm thinking of like when an artist gives their song for a commercial, whatever, it's a bit of it. It's not the whole song. So then they pay a lesser price. So maybe it's something like that. That's one thing I could think of, because they have the Street Fighter that works for the multiplayer. The NBA Jam works for multiplayer. The Capcom, from what I understand, that new one is going to work for multiplayer for all those games. The fighting games that we were talking about, remember all the Darkstalkers and all that?
Mob Hits, does this game work on, because he's saying no online lobbies, but like,
what does he mean? Because it says multiplayer.
Yeah,
maybe it's just quick match kind of stuff, where it's like you search for a match.
From what when I saw it, because I don't have it and it's not out, but when they released the notes on it, the interface for the online is going to be similar to like all the other ones. You can add friends. When you go in, you'll see a little interface where it shows your friends if they're online. If not, random battles. That's pretty much it. So I took it that the way he's describing it, there is no online support.
Yeah, it just seems like, I took it as like there's no online lobby.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's an interesting. I'll add that GZDR. I'll add that question. Other fighting games in the compilation have online lobbies for Versus. So he's saying this one doesn't.
The ones that I played didn't have any lobby like that. Yeah, so it's news. So I wasn't in the market to buy that one for some reason. I'm done with all of those.
You've never been a fan of Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
You know how I am about Marvel in general. My pinball machine back there. Nope. That's not the Marvel one. That's my Star Wars. It's just not my thing.
All right. Got another question for Mr.
Fighting Games and Street Fighter for me.
There you go, man. Even though that game is it's still a Capcom fighting game though. You know?
Yeah, it's a Capcom fighting, but
like your Hadoukens and sure you can still work, you know?
Yeah, you can do that, but it's more focused with the Marvel connection.
Yeah. All right, next question, Mr. GZDR. If Sony brings back PlayStation Home, what changes would you want them to make in order for you to use it? Manny, I'm going to go to you first, since you used Home a lot. You muted yourself.
See, the only thing I really used Home for was for some of the sort of connected game things. I mean, to be honest, on its own, Home is actually a really boring sort of place. It was always sort of has been. I feel like the things that made it interesting were the mysteries of there. They would add to it, sort of things to explore and stuff. I feel like as far as it's, I think the only thing that was in the interesting part was when they did she in their XI. I think the rest of it was. Yeah.
How long was Home Around? How long was
it? It was in beta and never left beta.
It was never in beta. I also heard that that game was also DL developed by EA.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah.
Bring back the hip hop gamer belt, you know?
Yeah, they can bring back the hip hop gamer belt. You know, I never got that. I only found out later he did it.
Is he still? Did you see him at Comic Con?
No, I didn't see him at Comic Con. But
I didn't see him at Comic Con either. But I'm sure he was there.
Does he still rock the belt? Is that still a thing?
Probably.
Oh yeah, he still rocks the belt.
Oh yeah, he still rocks the belt.
He's got new ones. He's got like he's got all kinds of new ones. He always gets like a new one every so often.
Yeah.
Did you get that belt, the Steve Austin one? Remember, there was one, or was it which one was it that you wanted to get?
Oh no, I wanted to get the Undertaker one.
Oh, that was.
The special edition one, the one with the wings on it. Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about?
PlayStation Home. My thing with Home is I don't see the utility of it. I don't understand why I would want to go into this world to launch into a game when I could just launch the game.
Yeah, it is like PlayStation Home in general is sort of like the Guilty Gear lobby now, or the Dragon Ball lobby, where it's like it's got this little platform world where you essentially sort of, you know, launch out of. It's kind of like that new Street Fighter mode too, like the one that they're doing where you have little customizable
characters. Home around and stuff.
That literally is PlayStation Home, what they're sort of making. So,
and also, go ahead, Brett. Yeah, explain this to me, because again, this is also why I don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess Second Life, I kind of get it, but I also kind of don't. And then obviously, this is what the meta is supposed to try to be, you know.
PlayStation
was doing that. Go ahead.
The reason you're not getting is because there's a social aspect to it. Like you are working off of, why would I do this? It's less efficient.
Yeah.
But it's not about efficiency necessarily. It's a lot of times about meeting up with friends. It's about giving additional rewards, little things to show off. You know, because if you think about it, like when you meet up with a bunch of people before you launch a game, a lot of times you're just sitting in an online chat room just staring at a menu screen, right? Like this is something to kind of do in the middle of it, or you know, in between. Like if all of us were sitting here waiting for Adam to come in and play a game with us, right? Like me, you, and Manny could play a little mini game and just chill in somebody's virtual apartment or something like that, and then launch from there when he gets there, versus all of us just sitting there in the game screen waiting for Adam to show up. So it's not necessarily a loss of efficiency or utility, but it's also just a different approach. I personally, what I think that they need is that's where they need to incorporate their VR, right? Because Home is essentially just, you're not playing a lot, you're just exploring. And that's the thing that VR really kind of shines in, according to a lot of people, is, you know, they don't want a fast-paced, hectic game. Sometimes they just want to be able to, like, see cool experiences and explore places and socialize with other people. So I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head when you're like, it's kind of like a Second Life, but it's a Second Life where you launch games from.
Yeah. Brett, I totally understand what you're saying, but I feel like the time for that has passed, because again, these consoles, they can load games so damn fast that you can just be playing something else and then your boys come online and they're like, okay, cool, let's play some, I don't know, Call of Duty. So cool, you switch the game and then you're playing Call of Duty now, you know? Like, game switching can just happen that fast that there's kind of no need for something else in between, because you can literally be playing a full-on game that's chilled and then switch to whatever the game is that your boys are playing. So it's kind of made redundant in that sense.
No, I mean, I get it. Look, there are Half-Life or Second Life exists because people want to get on just to socialize, right? Like that is a market in and of itself. There's a need there. It has been tapped. But if we're talking about, like, is there a kind of Venn diagram crossover between, like, social gaming and just socially playing? I think there is. I mean, that's a huge part of why Final Fantasy is so fucking popular. It's basically, from what I understand, at endgame, it just turns into Second Life. Everybody has parties and houses and...
Oh, 14, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But... Again, I guess because I'm not a social gamer, I never understood that
either. Yeah, it's not a Tony thing. Yeah. PlayStation Home will never be a Tony thing.
Yeah. I gave it the college try. I did, you know, for like a good month. And I was like, what's the point of this? You know? But that's for me, obviously.
I still think that there is a want for a Ready Player One type situation. It's been in the here's the word. It's been in the zeitgeist for long enough that I think it's something that people in society in general want. They like the idea of kind of a seamless set of virtual worlds that you can like socialize and slip between and things like that. I think it's just figuring out a way to make it unobtrusive, but it's never going to be as efficient as launching something from a quick menu. It just won't.
Anybody else have any thoughts on Home? What you want to see?
Fuck Home. She's a dollhouse.
She's a dollhouse. Yeah. I you know, it's not something that, it was something that probably back in the day would entice me more than today. Today, I'm not really interested in that kind of stuff. I do see the appeal, though. But
Microsoft had one. I think it was also on PlayStation. No, maybe it was just for the 360. It was that arcade. Remember that, Carlos?
One versus 100?
No, that you walked around the room and it was just all these arcade machines and you could see other people's avatars. And then you could
They did a lot of that kind of stuff. The one that I can remember is the Netflix. Remember they did Netflix where you can watch it together and then you have your little avatars and stuff?
You could do that on PC also. Then they just killed that whole feature. But that was a great one. I like that feature.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead.
No, sorry. I guess to answer the question from my point of view is there's nothing that they can really do because the problem is we have stuff like Steam Decks, we have like Switches, we have phones, you know, so even if you just like logged into your console and just wait for someone to join in, you can easily just be doing something else or even worse, just be on Twitter, you know? We have things to fill the gap and wait until like to fill that void now, so it's kind of...
We wait for everybody to jump in, we're already in the chat. And when they sign in, whoever's in it was in it.
Yeah, so again, I just think the need for something like Home, I think, has passed.
I'm going to agree.
Again, it sucks, because again, I actually enjoyed the concept of Home. I was still waiting for the ability to like, see your platinum trophies in there. I did not forget that. Phil that was Harrison, one thing that I loved. So yeah, I just think that the need for Home has passed. It has missed its window, which is unfortunate. But hey,
is Half-Life still a thing? Do people still do that?
I'm pretty sure The Sims is still a thing.
No, because remember the Sims is still a thing. But The Sims is a game. That Second Life had Best Buy and stuff.
Oh, like the Second Life, the actual product, Second Life.
Yes,
it is actually.
Shit, people lived in that. And I remember stores were getting involved.
Yeah, look at this download marketplace. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Is this on Steam?
That's the reason why I said, like, I feel like the only place it's really going to shine is like virtual reality, right? Like, the idea of putting on a headset and being like, I'm going to explore the surface of Mars. Like, that's a cool idea, right? How the fuck do you get to the surface of Mars? Do you want to scroll through the marketplace and buy a $3 mini game that says that you can do this or kind of thing? Like, VR experience seems ripe for exploring spaces. And that's the thing I think that you're going to need to make Home a thing. But the other thing I want to throw out there is like, now I know none of us are really these people, but there are people who like to socialize and even like meet other people online. Whoa. And that's, it's weird to people like us, but like, you know, I can even see like Home being a good place to like matchmake or looking for groups. I know that the consoles have the ability to kind of awkwardly look for groups, but nothing super satisfying.
I would just like to add something very briefly. I would like to apologize on behalf of Brett for triggering all the people that have just finished Edge Runners. I don't think that Brett meant to trigger you guys because.
What did I do?
When you said you wanted to visit the surface of Mars, kind of like how you want to visit the surface of the moon.
He didn't spoil it.
He didn't spoil it. He just triggered the people that have finished it.
That sounds like a spoiler to me.
I'm not saying nothing.
That's the thing. It's not a spoiler. It's just emotional damage.
I still want to see it, you know.
I say see it because it's great, but don't see it because depression.
No, I'm saying don't ruin it for those of us who want to see it, you know?
No, just go watch it. It's like
I plan to. Yeah, Adam's in the happy place. Brian, I've been playing. Yeah. Like, Studio Trigger, that's all I needed, man. That's all I needed, you know?
I can confirm it is in the happy place.
Oh, good stuff.
Um, Yeah. Just to go over, I don't think, you know, I agree with Brett. I don't think this is going anywhere. It might even propagate even more than it already is, especially with the whole thing with the metaverse and all this stuff being interconnected online. It's only going to get bigger. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we're still in the precipice of something even bigger. And then, you know, Second Life is just, you know, it's the beta version of whatever is to come.
We have a second here, so I'm permission to go off the rails for a second. Adam, did you see that video that I sent you?
You sent me a video?
Yeah, I shot you a video in the Throwdown chat. I posted a video in there that was basically somebody dropping an obscene amount of money on VR equipment to try and get to the actual place of, like, Ready Player One. They got the haptic vest.
They got the
gloves. They got the treadmill. Wait. They got the Twitter, thing that Adam. creates smells. Hold on. It's
Brett. Adam ghosted us on Twitter or DM. So
okay, sorry. Okay,
he doesn't see any of them.
So what I was saying is, like, they have all of these parts. And the interesting thing about the video is they were talking about, like, we are not technologically as far away as we think, because even when you kind of piece all these things together rudimentarily, the brain kind of fills in the gaps and it becomes an incredibly immersive experience. The problem is that you have all of these peripherals, all of this tech, nothing has figured out a way to put it all together. So when we're talking about, you know, a virtual online world and everything like that, I think it's personally really interesting because, yeah, see, because we're there. We're ready to fucking do this shit. The technology is there. We just haven't had anybody put it all together in one place.
1 month with this and I would look jacked.
Right?
Yeah, you would. This would definitely do. This is awesome.
But then the problem becomes, like, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. Why would you build all of these peripherals that can do all of this awesome stuff? And what's the motivation to link them together unless there's a platform that starts to exploit this stuff?
It would have to be like an esport tournament or something big to lure everybody in.
Even if it were like PlayStation Home, like, yeah, like, it's advertisement. You could create a space where you could actually smell a new car smell, and it's like a fucking Lexus showroom. You're like, okay, I do want to know if the real new car smell goes in. So you pop on your virtual reality goggles, you wander into the Lexus showroom, you're like, fuck, it does smell like new car in here. That's so goddamn weird.
Damn. Yeah, I would definitely.
All right.
But yeah, is there a market for that? I don't know.
Well, you want that shit. You want that happen.
No, yeah, but yeah, I mean,
there's the market of Adam.
It has to be millions of me to jump in, because then that's how it's going to bring down the cost.
Well, yeah, but to do that, you'd need a platform, and that platform would have to be like, okay, so you could throw on your virtual reality goggles, cool. Then you hear, like, okay, did you know PlayStation Home supports Smell-O-Vision? You're like, fuck. I mean, a Smell-O-Vision thing is like $300, but, like, at least I know something that uses it now.
I just want an upgraded version of laser tag. Remember laser tag? Because that one sort of, they had the new ones that did the vibration. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the light. So it's just a little more with everything.
Great. Oh, they have that now. You feel vibrations. It's crossing haptic feedback. So where they send waves from the left and waves from the right, where they cross over each other, creates a vibrational pattern. That's fucking crazy, man.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine just, let's say you're there with someone else and you're like sleeping and you look over and the person has everything just shaking.
Seizure.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, are you okay? And then you take the headset and you just see someone just got them against the wall, like spraying them up.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. A whole new world of problematic possibilities opens up when people can touch you over the internet.
Shit. All right, let's move on to the next question here.
Remember that was in Black Mirror, the last season. Remember there was the two dudes.
No.
That fight game, remember? But they were doing that, and the VR thing worked in that way. And then real world, remember that?
I didn't see that episode.
It was his best friend. His friend was.
Oh yeah,
they were having an affair and stuff through that because you feel him.
I feel like a thing. The stuff with VR and all that stuff. I think the first time we're gonna see it is sort of in establishments, like, you know, like VR arcades or something like that. And then they'll eventually make them their ways into the consumer's hands. But you got to pray to Uncle Zuckerberg to get all that stuff.
No. I don't want that motherfucker tracking my eye movements. Plus, there are way better products out there for less money.
Did you hear I don't know if we discussed this here, but did you know that in order to use, I could have misheard, but in order to use their headsets, you need to sign into your Facebook account?
You do, so they can track your ass.
I thought they removed that requirement.
They removed recently. That. They removed that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that
never works out. Remember, was it Bethesda had that issue with signing with Doom? It's like you had to always be online and connect with an email account or else you couldn't play the game. And then they removed that feature. I was on the Switch. It was an issue. Do I have to always be online now? Oh, we want to verify for what?
All right.
Bullshit.
Yeah. What do we got? Another one for Mob Hits. All right. Oh, this one should be fun for a couple of guys here. What is your favorite wrestling game? Of any time.
I'll let Adam go first because
He is Mr. Wrestling.
He deserves to say it first.
Yeah. All right, man. This is gonna be a two part for me because as of before the current version, it would have been No Mercy, hands down. No Mercy was awesome, great. But man, 22. This one that's out, fucking awesome. They fixed everything. They added everybody. They gave you all the features you wanted. This is right now by far the best wrestling game ever. Yeah, it's the ease of use and all that. But before that, for a retro one, go to No Mercy.
You know what I was gonna say? Saturday Night Slam, man.
That's
your ultimate game, man. I thought you were gonna say that shit.
Slam Masters? You sure?
The tag team one.
You're thinking of
SummerSlam.
WrestleFest.
There you go.
I was going to say, I was like, that's a Capcom. The other one you're saying. No, WrestleFest is awesome, but it didn't have all the moats. Mm. And if we're going overall, it's something that I can hours and hours playing, then those are two. No Mercy because the customization and all the stuff that you had. And then the latest WWE game, and that has everything. All the characters, you can't find it. Don't worry about it. Creation Center's there. People are uploading official images. All the AEW, New Japan people you want, all the finisher moves are always adding stuff. It's awesome. They did a great job. So those are the two. So if you're looking for a current wrestling game that's top notch, then that would be it. And if you're looking for something older, if you have an emulator, then play the No Mercy 64 version or the arcade version of WrestleFest. It is fun, but there's an end point. That's the thing. It's kind of short.
You know which game I liked? It was just called Pro Wrestling on NES.
Pro Wrestling. Yeah.
That was fun.
Pro Wrestling. That's still out there with Starman and Malibu.
Yeah.
Malibu. I remember there was a Tecmo Pro Wrestling.
Wrestling. I remember that.
Yeah. Maybe I used to play this. And what was it? There was a big swing. And it would just like do a cut. And you would just see him twirling across the stream. It was like, swinging the guy by his legs. Oh man, that was a fun one. There's a lot of good classics that people could just jump into.
Yeah. Anybody else wrestling games?
WCW versus NWO for the 64.
Yeah, that's the hockey. That's the same people that did No Mercy.
Rumble Roses.
Rumble Roses. That's a good one. Yeah,
that was kind of fun.
Nice. That game is made by Ukes, which is the guys who made the SmackDown game.
Yeah, they did those, and now they're also the people that are making the current AEW. Game, Fight for the Fallen or Fight Forever, something, but it's a new AEW video coming next year. You behind the belt.
Good stuff. All right. And this may be the last question of the night here. But shout out to you guys in the chat sending us more questions. Keep the show going. Jay Shep. Okay. Sony declared earlier that Call of Duty has no real rivals. If that's the case, doesn't Sony deserve part of the blame for heavily depending on it every year? Was it an oversight on its part to depend on an IP that it didn't own? No, not at all. It's a big game. What are they going to say? No, we don't want it on our platform. You know,
they should have created their own.
Yeah, but you can't just whip up a Call of Duty.
They tried so many times.
Yeah, but you can't just whip up a game like that. How many Halo killers did we have? You know, how many cooler killers have we had? Like,
their irresponsible asses did not shell out the $70 billion to acquire Activision.
Yeah,
and then people got to understand that they were for sale. I'm tired of seeing that everywhere. It's like, oh, you see, they just gobbling everybody. The company put themselves up for sale. It wasn't like, hey, how much?
We want
to buy you. No. They put a price out and say, hey, who's got the money?
I don't like that idea of like Sony should have. Try to make everybody's trying to make their own Call of Duty. These kind of games don't just spurt out of nowhere. You know, they're very rare. What are the only games that sell that much? Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto. That's it. And Fortnite now. You know,
and it's established. Like, yeah, that's the problem. It's also some. Even if another one comes and it's great, still have a lot of people that have invested time, money, friends, their scores, their stats that carry over from game to game over on their all. Raw network, they're just like, yeah, I got this one, I'm good.
But like, you again, you can't blame Sony for you should have known Microsoft was going to buy Activision. Like, you
nobody
can't do that, you know. Nobody can know that. Yeah, so no, they're not to blame at all. They, you know, it's a silly, you know. All right, now we are done, man. Another good,
we still got 15 more questions.
Go ahead, Adam, you can ask a question.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Should we blame Sony for not being competent enough to develop a game that could rival Call of Duty?
They shouldn't have given up on Killzone.
No one can. You can't put that responsibility on anybody, you know?
But let's say for example, you know, let's say Fortnite, it's obviously different types of games, but Fortnite is the cash cow for Epic.
Yeah.
Right? If Sony developed it and they had their own Fortnite, and let's say that was exclusive to the Sony platform, That Call of Duty blow would be less than what it is now, course, because
but again, these kind of games don't just happen, you know. They're very rare, you know.
And by the way, I'm pretty sure, and you know, I don't know anything, but I will say with certainty, the whole Bungie acquisition was 100% motivated by the practices that Microsoft has been doing over the past couple of years. So. You know, they obviously knew that where they were lacking, they knew they were never going to purchase someone like an Activision because they can't afford them like Microsoft can. So that's where they made their ways with Bungie, so they can get that Destiny shine.
Yeah. So yeah, they're trying to do it now, obviously. But again, let's see how many of those live service games actually pop. I'm almost of the belief that none of them are going to pop. You know, maybe one if they're lucky, and it won't even pop. It'll just be kind of successful. I could be
wrong. Well, that's because people can only play one live service game at a time.
Yeah, they're literally just throwing shit at a wall.
You only have so much time.
Well, what about this though? What about Destiny 3? That's going to be a Sony game now.
Oh yeah, and it is an established franchise. So, but even Destiny is nowhere near the Call of Duty numbers. You know,
but is that going to be exclusive? Did they say?
I mean, Call of Duty isn't. They're not even top of the charts, are they?
Yeah, oh, they are. They always top the charts, dude.
Sometimes twice.
Yeah, sometimes twice. That's right. Like this year's game and then last year's game, you know?
Well, I don't think that. No, I will say this. I don't think that the Call of Duty that came out the same year Cyberpunk did as well as Cyberpunk. I don't think the Call of Duty that came out the same year as Animal Crossing came out did as well as Animal Crossing.
I don't know about that, Carl. By the way, it's the same year, 2020.
Oh, Animal Crossing and Cyberpunk?
Yeah, they came out in 2020.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Animal Crossing and Cyberpunk were the two best-selling games of that year.
Let's look that up.
I'll look it up as well.
Because my default is Call of Duty's the number one game every year, because it usually is.
It always does like great numbers, but there's always like one game every other year that does as good. And I'll tell you this, I guarantee you Elden Ring's going to do better than Call of Duty this year.
Okay.
Well, Carlos, by the way, you were right, sir. Animal Crossing was the number one game of the year, and Cyberpunk was the number two game. Wow, Call of Duty was number eight that year. Holy shit. There's two FIFA games above it. 21 and 20. That's great. 21 and 22. Crazy. Pokemon Atreus.
I got to say, Call of Duty
I'm sorry, Carlos. I read this thing over
2020.
Yeah. Am I on mute?
Yeah, no, you're not a mute. I'm just cutting you off. Oh, I gotta look this right. Okay, sorry, Carlos. You might be wrong. You know.
Oh,
okay. Just add. I looked at the U.S. best-selling games, and the top two is Black Ops Cold War, yeah, right, followed by Modern Warfare.
I was reading 2020s when I saw Elden Ring as number three. Hold on a second.
Let's not take dated information here. I just want to share. Okay, no, so
but 21 was Vanguard. That was.
No, we're talking about 2020. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead before you know you explode.
Okay, the most currently played Call of Duty is Call of Duty Black Ops with a current player total right now of 4,369 players.
Yeah, no, we're talking about sales. We're talking about sales, not players. We're talking about sales.
Well, we're talking about both, I think.
No, I'm talking about sales.
Well, but we're right there. But what you said, Brett, that's not even the most current version of Call of Duty.
It's the most played one right now.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. By the way, okay, got it. 2020, the number one best-selling game of 2020 was Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. The number two game was Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Oh, I should have clarified. Oh, no, this is my bad. I said best-selling game that came out in 2020, not best-selling game of just 2020.
Yeah, didn't Cold War come out that year, 2020?
Yeah, but Cold War came out like a year before, a month before Cyberpunk. So Cyberpunk only had like a month and a half of sales, or less than a month of sales in that year.
Animal Crossing was right there, you know.
Yeah, but Animal Crossing definitely failed me. But Cyberpunk, I mean, I doubt, and I don't know, but Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, I doubt it did 20 million.
I don't know, but it's still the number one selling game. That's the point.
Of that year, but not...
That one is up there as like the second best-selling game or the first ever best-selling out of all the Call of Duty.
Does their money come from like initial game sales, or does it come from continuing revenue?
I don't know.
I'm willing to say continuing revenue based on all the DLC crap they add and the Battle Pass stuff. True. Yeah.
All right, then I want to throw this out there because I do feel like it's relevant. When I was just saying the most played Call of Duty game right now has 3,000 concurrent players, I just want to point out, right now, Counter-Strike has 358,000 players.
Oh, yeah, it's Counter-Strike, yeah.
The thing is that Warzone is free. So
no, yes. I know.
Even if they were making money from it, that's not Call of Duty. It's Warzone, separate.
No, yeah. Do you have numbers on Warzone, Brett, out of interest?
Let me check. Hold on.
I just want to add something. Brett, the Animal Crossing that came out in 2020 is New Horizons, right?
Yeah.
It sold over 39 million copies. I doubt any Call of Duty has done over 39 million copies.
The only point that I was trying to make is while Call of Duty is wildly successful, it is not the only thing dominating certain fields of gaming, right? Like it is not the Jesus of video games.
It is almost always the number one selling game of any given year, dude. I know there's outliers, but it's almost always the number one selling game of the year. That's my point.
You can mention a year and we can talk about lifetime sales, and I could bring you a game that sold more.
I'm not talking about always. Do you motherfuckers not listening?
Whoa.
Are you listening to me? I brought it up, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, I'm saying out of any given year, Call of Duty is probably going to be the number one selling game. That's all I'm saying. You know?
No,
and you guys open up all this other random shit. I'm just talking about.
But what I'm saying, yeah. I brought it up. You're the one that's talking about my argument. I said there's always games that sell on par with Call of Duty. Sometimes in some years, they sell even more than Call of Duty. Lifetime, sometimes they sell more than Call of Duty.
Not in 2020, though.
I said throughout the lifetime of the game that came out in 2020.
Yeah, perhaps.
Not just in the couple of months when Call of Duty came out.
Okay, it's the number one selling game in 20. What is your point of that?
My point is that it's the number one selling game of any given year.
Okay, and?
Yeah, that's my point. That's it. I mean,
Carlos was trying to bring up a point other than that, and I'm like, you bring up that as a defense. I'm not sure how it's fitting into what he's talking about.
No, because he was trying to say Animal Crossing outsold Call of Duty a year, and it clearly didn't.
I don't think.
No,
that's what
I said lifetime.
I thought you were okay. Then my bad. Then I thought you were talking about the year. You know.
Like I said, like there are video
and
somebody, games.
And I don't know who said it's like Call of Duty is not like the be all end all, but it's like, but if it sells the most of any given year, you could kind of argue that, you know.
No, it's because we're talking about the impact of losing Call of Duty as a game in their platform. And what I'm mentioning is there are games that come out each year that sell on par or better throughout their lifetime than Call of Duty that could be part of their platforms. That would do dividends for these systems, like, and that's why I mentioned Animal Crossing and Cyberpunk. Like, if Cyberpunk was exclusive to Sony, they'd be like, Call of Duty, what? Or if they had Animal Crossing, it's like, if they had games throughout their life cycle of their consoles, it's like, then losing Call of Duty means nothing because they have a whole bunch of other games that sell like crazy. You know, like Red Dead Redemption sold 45 million copies.
Oh, that game outsold Call of Duty that year, you know?
I actually would disagree with you, Carlos, because those games that you mentioned compared to Call of Duty, the revenue from Call of Duty is a lot longer spanning. Like with most games, it's just the initial dump.
But Call of Duty is definitely
throughout the year until the next one. So that would be a big blow. Because, again, you're going from a continuous revenue stream throughout the year plus the initial, plus the sales compared to just the sales, and that's it. So, to me, I see that as a big difference.
But Call of Duty, I'm not going to argue the fact that Call of Duty is one of the biggest cash cows in the industry. Yeah. That's for sure a fact. But Call of Duty is not a first party of any of these, of Sony or Microsoft, or that is a Microsoft now, but it wasn't of Sony or Microsoft. So all that revenue was always divided between Sony and Activision. So they weren't getting most of that revenue share that, you know, that Activision was getting off of these microtransactions and all this stuff. So that impact that Sony feels from losing Call of Duty isn't as big as if, for example, Activision somehow lost Call of Duty or something like that. Because they got most of the revenue from that from those games. But yeah, the fact that Call of Duty is a constant cash cow. It's one of the biggest juggernauts in gaming. I'm not here to deny that.
Yeah, but you did bring up a good point. It's like if Activision loses, Call of Duty, that's a blow. But like Sony losing it, not so much because they have other games. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and Microsoft. You know, they're like, how many Game Pass subscriptions can we get from making this exclusive?
Well, that's the whole point, you know.
Let's hold that over Jimbo's head right now.
I think, I think that's the whole thing right now with what they're doing. So it's like, all right, listen, we're going to load all this stuff up and see what changes. We'll see if the numbers are going strong, then we'll just keep it. But if they're not, we got to make that money back. So, yeah, exclusive. Now we're gonna cut that feed and see if that generates. But if it starts flowing in and getting the subs and all, because remember, it's not just Call of Duty. Getting the Diablo, getting the World of Warcraft and all that stuff on. Now, they haven't said anything. Games that service Warcraft. Was it still $14.99? But what if they add that to their service? And then you don't have to pay that $14.99. You just have to pay for Game Pass on PC. That's a game changer right there.
And Dutch curating everything? Imagine that.
Yeah, but Dutch, he had some nasty words yesterday for me, and I didn't appreciate it. He's talking back now. He thinks he's tough. He's tough.
Sometimes is he getting too big for his own britches?
My PS5 hasn't been turned on in 6 months. He learned his lesson. But he's scared of Hugo. Hugo, he knows it's taking his place. Hugo's got his dock on tomorrow. And so it's it. There's only so many inputs on the TV. That's
sitting on the dock of the Gabe.
Oh no!
Good question for you guys. Not necessarily an official question. Y'all saw that Steam Deck caught up with the reservations, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, if you order Steam Deck, you will get yours in a week or two. That's fucking awesome.
So all before the end of the year, that is amazing.
Yeah. How did they manage to do that while Microsoft and Sony are still facing supply issues? Is there just less?
Well, it's because the Steam Deck is also fairly cheaper to make.
That was my question. Is like, are there less components, or is it cheaper to make, or what's going on here?
It's not. It doesn't include a lot of the same as the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, remember, it's not using an OLED screen. It's using LCD.
Neither is an Xbox.
If you notice the Xbox that ends up being currently more on, you can find it more, is the one that has the, the one that doesn't have all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, and that's why I was curious, because, like, I thought the shortages were on the chipsets, and, like, I don't know if there's technically less.
The Steam Deck doesn't do ray tracing and all that shit. Therefore, it doesn't have.
I'm still not sold on this ray tracing, man. The Cyberpunk ray tracing didn't look great. The Resident Evil 7 ray tracing didn't look great. I had to turn that shit off. I'm like, hey, I don't see.
I disagree with Cyberpunk. It looks fucking glorious with that shit on, you know. But a game like Resident Evil, it's like there's no shiny shit.
That's what I'm saying. Well, the only time it was at the beginning. That was it, right? At the beginning when you get.
But like when you go to Times Square and like Spider-Man, Miles Morales, you're like, holy fuck, you know? It looks crazy.
Everything's reflecting off of
it. Yeah. Nah, that shit's a game changer.
I think in general the parts that the Steam Deck needs, it aren't nearly as in, you know,
yeah.
It's not, it doesn't need everything like a PlayStation or the Xbox.
Or a graphics
card. Okay, well then let me ask you this. How does it get so close to the power of a PlayStation and an Xbox?
Like, look, it doesn't get close to the power of a PlayStation or Xbox. It's a little bit stronger than I would say it's probably about as strong as an Xbox One X.
No, if I remember correctly, the PlayStation 5 is 15 times stronger than the PlayStation 4, and the Steam Deck is 10 to 12 times as strong. Like, it is definitely less powerful than the current gen consoles, but it is still head and shoulders above last gen consoles.
I don't know about that.
I mean, to be honest, like, and then all those games are also running at 720.
Yeah. Like Brett, I would say it's comparable, maybe, to PS4, but I wouldn't say it surpasses it. You know, like, for example, God of War, like, it was like, oh shit, I'm running it just like I did on PS4. This is great. But I don't know if it did any better.
Like 30, it wasn't 30 doing FPS.
It better. Actually, no, Brett, I'll give you this. It was running as good as on PS4 Pro. I hear you.
Okay. I froze up for a second.
Okay, so yeah, Brett, maybe you might have be on something, because I would say it's as good as the PS4 Pro, which is obviously better than a PS4. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Brett, a lot of the limitations are the fact that it's running on a handheld, so you know it can only run as hot or drain as much battery to run these types of games. So even in its most important what do you call it on its most optimal settings, like you'll be or environment, like it'll might surpass it, but in a handheld with a battery and all that, it's not going to do it.
Yeah. Just to add some clarifications, Steam Deck can do ray tracing. Digital Foundry had a video of it doing ray tracing with Control.
What's their agenda?
It's not that great because it's a handheld. and again, to further add to answer Brett's question, main reason why Valve can get them out is the components aren't all that. They aren't all that in general.
That's what I figured. It was not. Yeah. Like, yeah. They're not using like the high end of high end stuff. So no. It's obvious to get it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why I asked the question. Like, I'm confused. Wait, like,
just as a reference point. CPU wise, they're using the Zen 2 stuff, which is 3 years old at this point. So it's readily available, easily to manufacture. And the RAM stuff is the same RAM as it put inside laptops. So, again, it's perfectly fine. And the storage stuff is literally stuff that you buy off the shelf. I mean, you can literally buy an SSD off the shelf, swap it in the Steam Deck, and it works. And I'm guessing that they had all the other components, such as the control pads from the Steam controller, and then the screen is a LCD screen. So, again, these are things that are easy enough to manufacture, and they don't require any type of new processors, I would assume.
Okay, dumb question. Does a chipset from 3 years ago require less rare earth minerals than a chipset nowadays? As they get more powerful, do they require more rare materials?
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm willing to say yes based on the count of transistors in them.
Okay.
And I'm going to counter you, Brett, and say that was a good question. Yeah, that's a great question, even.
And then
that's where I'm confused. I'm like, it seems like, the amount of transistors, that's probably where I'm off, because I'm like, I don't see how these are using less materials is where I'm confused.
Well, the dyes are smaller. The transistor counts, I don't know how that factors into all of that, since they don't, transistors are only getting smaller. But, you know, the fact that, you know, they're Zen 2 CPUs have been mass produced for years now. I'm pretty sure that helps at, you know, the availability of getting those into the factory instead of getting this new fab for another chipset that's, you know, currently in design or the SoC that's on the PlayStation or the Xbox.
Okay. They're saying there's already just a more readily available supply because it's been in manufacturing longer.
Yeah, I think that's the...
That makes sense, too.
All right.
Yeah, Chris was here. He'd probably break it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a genuine question. I didn't have any ulterior motives. I was very confused. I was like,
what's your agenda?
I wondered the same thing. How are they doing that? But yeah, it's just because they're like just readily available old shit that they're using, you know?
It's kind of like why you can get a Switch.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Shit. You know, that old ass shit.
Though if that Switch was as strong as the Steam Deck, that'd be some pretty good shit.
Yeah, right. All right, man. We're done. Good show tonight. Manny, do you have anything to plug?
No, I don't have anything to plug. The thing that I was would be plugging is all over, and now I am back.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're all plugged up.
Even though I wouldn't go anywhere, I was on the last episode.
Yes,
but yeah, all in advance before we talk about it on the episode, the next episode of the Mothership Throwdown.
Yes,
I think we're gonna call that now. Mothership Throwdown. It was great to see everybody. I'll give everybody some shout outs on that show. Tell you some stories, regale you with some stuff, and there you go.
Good stuff. Speaking about motherships, Adam, what's going on, man?
No, if you're still into The Walking Dead, myself, Rich Bailey Jr., and Carlos, we have IMD, and it's on the iTunes, Fi, YouTube, Coalition with K. Cool. You can check us out. So we'll be back this week for Variant. There's next week, girly stuff, and that's thanks to AM Plus and what they're doing with it. So if you're into Walking Dead, it's out IMD.
It's a Barry Burton boycott NYC 2023 hashtag. Oh, man.
Hey, yo, Tony.
Yo, yo.
I want to plug something real quick. I don't know if anybody is in the Kansas City area, but if they are, I'm going to be at the local Kansas City Tattoo artist meet and greet. It's at the Harley Davidson something, something or other. Find all the details online and follow my Instagram for tattoo stuff at Brett Murdoch Tattoo, all one word.
Nice, nice. Good
tattoo
stuff.
Like taboo.
Brett plug.
Yeah, Brett plug. I love it, man. Go get tatted up, man. All right, people, we're done here. Make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the rumors and the conversations are always popping. Mr. Mob Hits laying it down. We are on every podcast app you could think of. Two words, Throwdown Show, two words. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez, Carlos Romero.
Adam, I still can't find it.
Yeah.
Adam Vail.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Peace.
And Brian Majoma.
Go watch Edge Runners. It's surprisingly good.
Nice, nice.
That's a weird way to say depressing.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say supremely good.
Yeah, go watch it. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later.
This is...
Peace.